This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Tracks of Life, episode one. What's up? I'm Jordan.
And I'm Fabian.
We're starting off with a bang. T-Pain.
Wow.
This was a fun one. It got a little wild.
Understatement.
Yeah. Everybody knows who T-Pain is, but I don't think everybody knows how crazy he is.
No, he's a lunatic.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a blast. Lunatic. But, you know, he is a household name.
He is, man. Comes from Tallahassee, Florida. I mean, I don't want to say started auto-tune, but he started auto-tune and reintroduced it.
He started using it right.
Yeah, made it a craze.
Yeah.
Couple Grammy Awards, countless number one records.
Oh, yeah. He just won the Masked Singer.
That's right. Wow. Yep, he sure did.
On Top of the World again.
Killing it. He's killing it.
And hilarious.
Hilarious.
So check it out. And while you're listening along, we'll tell you too in the middle of the podcast, but make sure you head to tracksoflife.com and find our playlist on Spotify. And when we break, listen along.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
The first page of a book never tells the full story. And those news alerts and headlines, like the ones we get on our phones, don't even scratch the surface of what the story is really all about. Stories are like people, multi-layered and complex. It takes some digging to find the truth, but when we find it, it can change our world. We like to dig. The news on Merritt Street. Essential television.
Welcome in, Theodore Painsworthy.
Hey, how's it going?
We have no masks for you to sing under.
Thank you.
We're here.
I'd much rather not.
We call this the pod mask. We're going to need you to put this on. Yeah.
That was solid.
That
was really good. That was really good.
He does shows in Vegas at the Caesars Lobby at 315, 325, and 339.
It's not sanctioned, but the drinks are free.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then in the Vegas police station at 4 o'clock.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, P.M.
P.M., absolutely. That's so good.
Oh, my goodness. So, Payne, my brother, we go back, man.
Yeah, man.
We go back. You know, I was...
This is Fabian's serious voice.
This is my serious podcast. When I throw bass on the voice, you know it's about to be a serious story. You know, let me explain something about me and T-Pain's relationship.
Please.
All right? We became friends instantly. But let me tell you what happened.
It's a 5-minute window.
Yeah. Well, so let me tell you what happened.
Yeah.
I'm in Miami, right? And there's a studio down there, the big studio. And I had my own room there.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, there was this restaurant in Miami, had the best pizza in Miami, right? The front desk calls, my assistant answers, and they say, well, they call on speaker, they say, Fabian's food here. Fabian, do you want your food? I said, I'll put it in the lounge. I'm working on something. So
big mistake.
Yeah. So when you go out to the back, you go to the lounge, there's two entrances. There's the main entrance, and then there's, you know, like a back way to go out. So as I walk in, all I see is the back door closing. And I see dreads. And I'm like, who the fuck was that? I'm like, oh, well, whatever. Like, no. Who the fuck was that? So, you know, so I walk in, I look to my left.
Okay.
Half of my pizza is gone.
It's over.
No, half is gone. Like, the box is, he didn't even close the box.
Yeah.
The box is sitting open, and there's T-Pain with five slices of pizza across three plates. And my entire 2-liter bottle of soda.
My yeah. thing was to sandwich it and just to make a pizza sandwich.
Yeah, flip
sandwich.
It up.
Yeah, you got to flip them.
So I walk out and I'm like, what?
Yo,
I'm like,
you're going to put some Coke in the middle, make it a pizza gusher.
No, so I walk out. I'm like, yo, man, like, what are you doing?
He's
like,
really,
you gave him the yo, my man?
Yeah, I gave him yo, my man.
Yo, my man.
So he looks up. He's like, dude, I was in the lobby. It fucking smelled delicious. And they said it was for Fabian, and how much could Fabian eat? I was like, it's a large and it's for me. But
so, I didn't realize who I was talking
exactly,
about.
Yeah. So basically that was my first time meeting Payne in yep. person. Like, half my pizza's gone. The entire bottle of soda. Like, he didn't even like pour a little in a cup. Like, you grab a cup, like you yeah. take the whole bottle.
Nah.
But all you see, he turns around, he's just like, he's got his shoulders up, he's like, it smelled so good.
You can't get mad at that logic.
I wouldn't call us best friends, but I would call us like
best occasional friends. I don't know what it is.
Whatever,
I don't know.
Right?
It's just when we see each other, it's like, what the fuck, dude? Why haven't we done this like in so long?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't want to like make you nervous, but he's hyped you up like as a person pretty big.
Yeah.
Well, now.
Yeah. Well.
No, that just put it over the edge, well, too. Like,
strong, he's a strong 6 out of 10. Strong 6. Yeah.
It was great, man. I mean, and you know, Fabian from that day has been, you know, teaching me things about what he does and, you know, mixing, and
he knows a thing or two.
It's okay.
But that was early on too.
Yeah,
and it was
yeah.
like, matter of fact, there was a Scion parked outside.
Was
all right, let me tell you about this guy. How much was a Scion? Somebody Google, how much was a Scion? They were like, what?
Scions were
like 20 grand?
At one point, they
like
were
35.
All right, let's say 35.
Yeah, but at one point, they were rated the most dangerous car on the road.
Yeah, no, with him driving.
When
I'm
did
sure.
that happen?
Yeah.
They would crumple. If you hit, like, if you hit a pebble, it would just go.
Let me tell you something about this guy. Number one record on the radio, right? Crushing it. You walk outside, he's got a $35,000 Scion, right? With $100,000 worth of speakers and lights. Yo, he had a motorized thing that came out of the back. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, yo, get a Lamborghini or something. Like, what are you doing? He's like, nope. he's like, nah, this is my shit, man.
Nope, just gonna put, nope, just gonna put Lambo doors on this.
And by the way, he did. And listen, there was neon everywhere. There
yeah,
was a
was
speaker
crazy.
Every direction you could look. There was a motor. I mean, it was crazy. And I'm like, yo, but the car, it's still a $30,000 car. So no, but listen, you can hear it. And I don't want to, you know, have the whole conversation about this, but you can hear it in the music. Everything is fun. Everything
oh,
is.
I thought you were going to say you could hear that Scion.
No, no. Like, no, you could definitely hear
that shitty exhaust.
No, no. You could definitely hear that.
I didn't do anything. That's the crazy thing.
No,
out of $100,000, I did nothing to modify
no.
the
Thank
engine.
God.
No.
Or the,
no, no,
the,
it's
or
still,
anything.
No, it's still, listen, it's
it
still
was
had,
still, it was still a Toyota
no,
motor.
I put a Ferrari engine yeah, in
no,
it.
No.
It was still a fucking no, Toyota it's still, it's still Celica had, motor in a truck.
It still had 45 horsepower. Okay. And it weighed an extra 2,000 pounds because of all this stuff.
Thank God there weren't many hills in that city.
But the best part about it is you look around, there's Bugattis weren't even out yet. We're talking about there's Lambos here, there's this and that. And,
Maybachs
and
everywhere.
Listen, and he does not give a fuck. And he's in the middle. He parks in the militia. And everybody's, by the way, there's people waiting outside to work with him.
Yeah.
The people that drive the Maybachs, this and that. And yeah. he's got his Scion parked. And he left the lights on all night, of course.
Why would you not
the,
do yeah, that?
With the doors open. And everybody, and this, and you got a picture
I
of the
had
time.
An extra
yeah.
battery.
Yeah, exactly. or 10, right?
Right.
That's a, that, kind of tells you the type of vibe it is when you're in the studio together, because it's like, it's all fun. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's literally...
Wait. So you're calling his studio presence Scionish.
Yeah, he's Scionish.
That's real Scionish.
No. Let's actually go
Psionic.
A step deeper. No, it's...
It turned into a sense of like, for everybody that came in the room, it was yeah. like, don't worry about shit.
Yeah.
First of all, there's three TVs in here.
Mm-hmm.
All three TVs have a different porn playing on.
Yeah. No, they do. Yeah.
But then there's like the aspect of,
and then Powerpuff Girls,
and then Powerpuff Girls. We gotta have Cartoon Network
too,
in
yeah.
there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, even with us doing just stereo music, I still wanted the 7.1 surround. All the speakers got to be
on. It was full. Listen. but then you go to a house. Picture this. Picture what you would... All right, close your eyes and think about if a 12-year-old had unlimited money. Anything you could picture, it's basically a mental of a child with money. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like everything is everything.
Like, we wanted, like, my managers at some point was like, we need to see what this thing, what this song feels like in a club. And I'm like, well...
It's funny you should ask.
And funny you should ask. Here's $1,000. Go to Guitar Center, get every light you can get, and a fog machine.
right.
And we're bringing it back to the studio.
We'll just make a club
in the studio. Fog machine. I think we had to pay probably $8,000, like in a month, from setting off the fire alarm
constantly.
In the studio.
No, really? Constantly. Yo, the managers, the owners were like, Fabian, what are you guys doing? I'd be like,
yeah.
Make it hits, baby.
Make it hits, baby. And the only thing they didn't like is that the fog that we put in the fog machine didn't dissipate a lot. And it made the fader sticky and shit.
But it wasn't a big deal. It was the board. We did most of our early hits on the same board that they did I Feel Good from James Brown.
Oh. Yeah.
Saturday Night Fever soundtrack.
Yeah.
So picture how
we're getting fog. Yeah. Like,
picture how mad the studio owners were. The faders are sticky. I'm like, I don't know what's
happening. My first reaction was, Their reaction was, fuck that.
John Lennon leaning on
there's a picture of John Lennon with his child on the board. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and we're over here standing on it. You
know? T-Pain coming here in 5 days and just ruined the legacy. Hey,
this thing lasted 50 years and then you're here. You know?
That was sweet though.
No, man. It was great. It was, and then from that came... I mean, a monster amount of hits. It was like unstoppable. Like it was
You can't argue with results.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yo, it was like
I'm sure they feel good. Boy.
Yo, does it sound good? Does it feel good?
It was. Hey, listen,
then it must be good.
We call it hurting feelings. We used to hurt everybody's feelings. The drums,
yeah,
the bass, and you could feel it was a. But you could always tell that there was fun happening in the studio, which is important. So listen, I'm giving you the history on Pain, right?
Yeah,
it's everything is fun. Everything is a good time.
Yeah.
You can't take it too serious. And you hear it in his music. You hear it in his melodies, right?
I mean,
I don't want to speak for you. I'm just saying, like...
I can't make words for these things.
It's just like... it's like, if you're not having fun, go the fuck home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's
100%.
For sure.
But everything. And then, by the way, when you go home to his home, it's fun there.
Yeah.
There's a club. Yeah. It's a club. It's a studio. It's every video game you ever seen in your life.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? It's like everything you can imagine. And then... I don't know who's listening to this, but there might be a strip club. I don't know if there's a strip club in
there. There's a strip club in there, yes.
Yeah.
It's two poles.
Right. I've heard. I've not seen.
You've not seen.
I've not seen. You've I've not just heard. Seen. I've never taken part.
One of them spins, one of them lights up. It's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Neither does both. That would make your mind explode.
Boom. Boom. That'd be a whole other.
We're looking out.
Yeah. We don't
we're wanna, looking we out don't, for the safety of the performer.
We do not want to kill people in there. It's crazy. It's a lot of shoe marks on my ceiling.
You would think
a sign of success.
But in a home setting, you would think there would be it's not like a use for the shoes.
are you gonna have a no shoe rule for a stripper?
Absolutely.
But listen,
no, because I had that rule in the club. If you come in my section, you can't wear shoes.
All right.
Because
and also there is Cartoon Network on in the section.
All the time.
Yeah.
He told
any,
me.
Any TV that's in my section in the strip club, it has to be on Cartoon Network.
Do we need to put Cartoon Network on?
No, this is business.
So tell us, man. You'll take us on a journey, man. Tell us your first song that you brought here for us today, man.
It's a quite recent song.
Oh, okay.
Not a lot of songs have had a lot of impact on me.
Okay.
In my early stages, because of. You know the cliche thing when artists always say, I've been an artist, I've been a singer since I was 5 years
old. Right.
I got into music in 1999. Mm. That's when I like started.
How old are you? I mean, at that time, you're out of high school.
What time is
Are you in high school?
Well, I'm 33 now. I'm 34 now.
Right. So you're a kid. You're still a kid though, but it's but you're not like, it's not something that you were, it was secondary is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, it was very secondary. All right. The only reason I actually got into music was two reasons.
The only reason is two reasons.
No, there was two reasons I got into music. One, because it impressed my dad.
Okay.
And two, because I started getting friends in school.
Okay.
You know, not even chicks, just people just started hanging around me because they found out I was good at something.
All right.
Like, so I, the one way it impressed my dad is an Army commercial came on. I used to chill in my parents' room all the time. Mm-hmm. And there was a song on the Army joint, and I started harmonizing with it.
All right.
And my dad was like, how the fuck do you know how to do right. that?
Like, you do this?
Right. <Yeah. laughs> I was like, I thought that's where it was going. And
right.
That's
like, you felt it.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I knew, like, there's only a couple ways that progression can go.
Right.
So he was like, how the fuck do you know this?
Yeah. So right. Baffled. He lost his mind.
Right. Yeah. He started buying me shit. It was like, here's a keyboard. Here's a Fostech, Fostech H-track.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Try this.
See what's going on with this. Yeah. And, you know, he knew a lot of people that did music, and, you know, they started teaching me tricks and shit, and, you know, man, I mean, it went from there, but as far as going up to getting to this point, like, there wasn't anything that, like, inspired me more than, you know, recently. Like, even my brother Rashid, like, mm-hmm. he would always make fun of me, and I would have to tell on him to my parents because he would make fun of me to the point of crying. And my parents were like, what's wrong? And I'm like, he's making fun of me because I'm singing a song how I think it should go.
Right.
And, you know what I'm saying? So he thought I was just wrong. He thought, you know, my brother would always make fun of me because he thought I was wrong. But I'm like, this is how I think the song should go.
Right.
I feel like it'd be better if it was like this. So, you know, my dad realized I had a better writing ability. Sure. So, first song that actually impacted me.
Right.
That I heard, and these songs didn't come out in this order, mm-hmm. but this is the order I heard them in.
There's no order.
Let's
talk about it. Yeah.
Justin Timberlake, Strawberry Bubblegum.
Woo! All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different, man. But it. I think that whole album, the 2020 joint.
Yep.
I think that inspired me to not be afraid to be musical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was actually okay with, like, hey, maybe I should put strings in my shit. Like,
right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because at that time, I was going through a period to where I was, like, being told to strip my music down.
I remember.
Oh, yeah. You remember, you know what I'm saying? Absolutely. When it was just everybody was trying to get me to sound like everybody
else. And it's no shade, but you got to imagine, this is T-Pain now, and he's knee-deep making hit records for a long time.
Smashes.
Yeah. I mean, monsters. And it's like, wait a minute, what are you telling me? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I was doing these things, and I, you know, because you remember I was in the studio by myself making these songs.
Yeah.
Like, I always went off of my own influence. Yep. Like, if it was anything.
But when your brother's telling you, no, this, what is he doing, making fun of you? You're like,
right.
No, but this is how I hear it. And
absolutely.
You've always been like that.
I've always been like that. So when other people started getting involved and there was more money involved, and now there's...
You get the old trim the fat speech.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It was like, people like simplicity. I was like, I don't think so.
Yeah, right.
I don't think you or
think
anybody
people
knows
like good.
What they
like
want. I always had a ton of music in my shit, and, you know, just a lot of progression, and, you know, all that harmony I came up knowing mm-hmm. on my own. And
that you felt. It was a feel,
right.
Yeah.
And I always felt like, yeah, let's just do that. Why is that? That should just be music.
Right.
But then people started to try to put science on it and shit, and like, studies have shown that people like simpler music.
Right.
And
yeah.
Nah, it's
like,
not
fuck your
that.
Studies, dude.
Yeah, yeah, fuck your studies. Let me do this shit if people like it.
Yeah.
Then that's who I make
like
for.
You notice
if you
their
don't
head
like
keeps
it,
going up and down,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you don't like
sign.
The music I make, that means I didn't make it for you.
Right. Yeah.
So, you
and,
know.
And that's fine. And that's
right.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And then I started getting a term that my wife has been drilling into my head. I started getting gaslit.
Okay.
So you know, when people start trying to make you feel insane.
Uh-huh.
For your decisions. Yeah. You know, when people start trying to make you feel wrong about everything that you
which
do.
Which is a method of control, I would think.
Absolutely. Right, that's exactly what it
right,
is.
Right, yeah.
It's a method of making sure you think that everybody is right but you.
Right.
All the time. So, you know, you start being afraid of being wrong. So I started following the whole dumb everything down, no more chords, no more progressions, just three part just bop, 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 psh,
break down.
Yeah. So just do that. And yeah, that's what people like. No, I don't think people, I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
And then Strawberry Bubblegum happened. And that whole album happened. But when I heard Strawberry Bubblegum, it turned into, you guys are wrong.
Right.
Justin Timberlake is the biggest fucking artist right. of all time. So right. like, don't, I yeah. can't wait a minute. Let yeah. me start trying this shit again. And that turned around, for me, just a whole separate era of, you know, doing that shit. And then I started making, you know, a lot of big dope beats for a lot of dope people. So, mm-hmm. you know, it turned into something pretty cool, man.
Yeah. Do you want to listen? Clearly. Should we listen to it a little bit?
Yeah,
so we can kind of catch the vibe on it? Yeah. All right, hold on.
I would love that.
If you're listening along, follow along on the playlist or go to the website. Boom.
Yo.
All right, we're back.
That joint is crazy.
Yeah, but crazy. Also we got to add like 3 songs to the playlist because
you guys kept rolling.
Yeah, we went in.
Yeah, we kept going.
Yeah, no, that.
But let me. Yeah, go ahead.
We went ahead and our discussion came with the result that while that album went like double platinum,
yeah.
it is still underrated.
It was definitely underrated. It was definitely not as popular as it should have been.
Okay. Yeah.
Suit and Tie came off of that album and it was fire.
Dude, every time we start a tour and get in the tour bus,
mm-hmm.
we play Mirrors and like.
And Mirrors
like
came off
every
of that,
person
yeah.
in the bus is just clapping and Absolutely. Like singing along because it's. I don't need a minute.
That shit, like, because Mirrors was like one of them joints that should have been at the end of a Fast and Furious movie.
Oh, hell
like,
yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
But does anybody want to discuss that song was 8 minutes long? Does anybody want to talk about
well,
that?
Well, let's discuss that the entire album
was that.
Every song had a second version of the song at the end of it.
You're like, oh, it's over. Oh, no, it's not over.
I modeled one of my albums after that,
mm-hmm.
and it never came out, but I'm still ready to drop this album. I got to get the rest of the features, and I'm fine. Mm-hmm. It's the Stoicville, the Phoenix album.
Fine, yes. I'll do it.
if you want. but it's the Stoicville, the Phoenix album, which... not only has a second version of each song, but it also flows into the next song seamlessly. So when you listen to the album, you don't feel the break in the song.
Right. I think that's...
it just keeps going.
Yeah. That's such an underrated, like... I don't want to call it a trick, but it's kind of a trick. It's letting shit flow because you get that vibe.
Well, you go back... listen, you go back to Pink Floyd. You go back to Pink Floyd. You're like, wait a minute, we're on song number 3?
Right. Same thing. Absolutely.
Remember when Snoop's first album came out? You're like...
like, wait,
what? You look down at the ID, you're like, oh, wait, we're on number... you know what I'm saying?
Right, absolutely.
Or you go back to Pink Floyd and you're like, wait, we're already on song number 3?
Right.
Oh, wait, we're still on song number 3?
Yeah, exactly. But yo, but listen, because you're like, yo, wait a minute. You're telling me not to do this anymore.
Right.
But the hottest guys in the game are going to go ahead and do what you're telling me not to do that they... I'm not saying copied. Let's not throw shade.
Right, but
they're inspired by this
Absolutely.
To do that.
And I think that's fair to say because we all inspire each other.
Of course, for
it'd be
sure.
weird to say we don't listen to each other.
No, but I'm gonna take it a step deeper. We're all in Miami, 10 feet from each other
mm-hmm.
when this is all going on.
Mm-hmm.
Literally 10 feet. You turn around, Fabian and Payne are over here joking around.
Yep.
You know, Wayne's in this room. Oh, is that just... wait a minute. Just that's Timberland Justin just walking Timberland, with Timberland?
Timberland is
we're
in
all,
there.
We're all sharing a wall. We're
at any given time, you'll see me and Timberland out in the parking lot arguing about cars.
Yeah, like, just BS. And then this is the music that comes of it. So Miami at that time...
and I was doing music with Timberland at this time.
Absolutely, bro.
So yeah. I was... everybody knows, at any given time, at that studio... T-Pain may walk in this room and come drop a hook and fucking leave.
And it's popping. And yo, listen.
Run your board with fog.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And listen, it was in a Lambo or a Bugatti. It was not in a Scion anymore. If I'm with me.
We start switching cars.
Yeah. It was
remember the Bentley?
T-shirt and jeans.
Remember the Bentley I had for fucking 3 days?
For 3 days.
Yeah, I had a Bentley for 3 days.
Yeah, I remember.
I had a Bentley and I parked it at the studio because I didn't really have a place to put it at the place I was staying at. So I put it at the studio and then 3 days later, after I bought it, the studio flooded. The whole thing.
North Miami. And we're not talking about a hurricane.
Crazy storm.
No. It was just an out of nowhere storm.
It was just crazy rain.
And then the dude, also that part of Miami, it's crazy because the biggest studio and you've got $10 million in cars in the parking lot.
Absolutely. It's in the hood. Across the street.
It's in the hood.
Right across the street is like
It's a Florida version of the project.
It's like a 10-unit project. Literally, if you're on the top floor of the projects, you can like literally see any celebrity you wanted to.
Yeah.
The better story is when I had the hearse out there.
Yeah, I do. I do recall.
So I had I had a hearse.
Sick.
Of course.
I had a hearse with a coffin in it.
Yes.
And the coffin had.
Hold on. It was a Tuesday.
It was a Tuesday.
Oh well. Okay.
The coffin had a skeleton in it, dressed like me, with a top hat and a big ass chain. But the lid of the coffin had TVs on it. Inside the hearse, there was 8 12-inch subwoofers, which is
a lot.
Yeah, no, it's a lot.
Like, it's a whole fucking hearse.
It's like more than some people's concerts.
One will make you vibrate. Huh?
Yeah,
so
exactly. Yeah.
There was only I hit one button. The back door opens, the coffin slides out, the lid of the coffin opens up. This is all in succession just with hitting one button. This is all, shit got lights in there, put a fog machine in there to make it a little more creepier. I like fog machines, by the way.
Yeah, clearly.
But to be fair, who doesn't? But anyway, right, continue.
Absolutely. So I'm doing all that shit. There's obviously porn playing on the TVs in the coffin. And this lady... She comes out. I'm playing a new song I just recorded in the studio and put it in the car. This lady comes out on the top balcony, and she's like, "Cut that shit off!"
Oh my, screaming!
Is it like screaming at the top of her lungs?
But hold on,
shut it down!
But listen, if we're fair. We're 10 feet away from her bedroom.
and the glare of the light that she was getting through her windows was porn. Yeah. It was porn.
Also, it was 3 in the morning.
Yeah, it was.
And she was
We did not just
furious.
Come back from the strip club. We were working all night.
But anyway. We were working all night. So,
all right.
Strawberry bubblegum.
Strawberry bubblegum, man.
Back to bubblegum.
Back to bubblegum.
No, but listen, I get it, man.
And that's when I made Revolver.
Mm.
Because that was after 3 Rings. Uh-huh. And then all the stuff started happening when they were trying to make me sound like newer rappers and shit like that. And then I started losing my music. And then I think Revolver was my most musical album.
Yeah,
and it did the least. So I lost faith in my musicality. Then and that's when I transitioned over to RCA without notice. And you know what I'm saying? Because Jive.
Yeah.
Shut down without anybody knowing it.
It was a weird time in music.
But Jive, my label shut down, and they just put me on RCA without me knowing. I had no idea. Nobody knew. They just, anybody that was on Jive.
It's like going to bed in your house and waking up in another house.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like, or when you were young, like going to sleep on the couch and waking up in your bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Like what happened in between?
So yesterday,
with a half-eaten peanut butter and jelly sandwich next to your bed,
not,
like,
it's
is
not,
that
yeah,
me?
It wasn't safe. Right. It wasn't safe. Apparently, I ate wings last night. but
wings and milk.
Yeah.
But what happened was when I was in the middle of that album, my most musical album, when I heard Strawberry Bubblegum, RCA acquired 4 labels worth of artists, but they only had 1 label worth of team.
Yeah.
So it's like. Anybody that was, had the job of taking records to a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they had 10 records. You got Chris Brown. You got fucking Ariana Grande. You got all these people to take to the radio station. If you land one of those and they agree to put one of those in rotation,
you won.
You did your job. You can get out of there.
Right.
I was the lowest priority of that whole list.
Why? Yeah. Like, what? Wait, what?
And keep in mind, other labels are calling my label like, hey, so. What?
Yeah.
How the fuck is T-Pain not the most famous person on earth now?
Yeah, and it was a weird time, not in music, but
in the
music business.
In
it
the
was
music
crazy.
Business
yeah,
for
was,
sure.
Yeah, it
music
was.
Music was fine. The facade we all created was still intact.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. There's a Bugatti. Exactly. No.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
But the music industry was out of whack, crazy.
Yeah,
nobody knew what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
It was scary.
Everybody was getting fired. People were getting dropped left and right because they didn't have enough team to work anybody.
Yeah.
And I
had just bought a new Escalade. And I'm like, what am I going to do?
What am I going to do with all this space?
People still need songs mixed.
Yeah. Fucking
that's one good thing about mixing. Everybody needs a song mix.
Yeah.
I was good. You got to find the one car that has a dope system that's like, nobody believes any of Fabian's mixes until they get played in a car.
Yeah.
So you had to find that one car like a dope system.
Like, hey, you want to go? They'll be like, you want to do the car test? I'm like, yep.
You sure do?
I would love to. Come join me.
Yeah. Can we get in my car?
And then listen, then the whole building starts shaking and then the lady comes out. What are you doing?
What is
shut it down! Cut that shit off!
Now, what you want to do is you want to get in the car. All the time you wanted to get in the car, close the doors, do the thing. Nope. Guess what everybody wanted to do?
Open all the doors.
Yeah. Get the basketball hoop.
Let's throw a ball in there.
Let's throw a ball in there. Obviously, and also when you play it, turn it up to where the limiter kicks in on the stereo.
Can somebody go inside and get the fog machine?
Right. It was just too much. Absolutely.
Jordan, you should do your joke about the autotune.
Hey, we should put autotune on your microphone.
And here it is in 3, 2, 1. And then I don't talk for the rest of the whole thing.
All right, so strawberry bubblegum, man.
Strawberry bubblegum.
All right, so that if I'm understanding, right? That lets you understand.
Right. That made me understand that musicality was okay.
Okay.
I felt good about knowing music.
Wanted to do with it.
Absolutely.
Because I'm not trying to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, go ahead.
But it's like people telling me not to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, these guys are doing what I used to do that you're telling me not to do.
Absolutely.
I think most,
and they're winning with it.
And winning. In a major way.
Most musicians, if you tell them not to do something...
Yeah, they're going
to
do it.
They'll do it.
Yeah. It's kind of like,
They'll do that if there's that one person that you don't necessarily despise them, but you're like, I don't really trust you like that.
Yeah.
But when it's, in my case, and Fabian was there for this, when it's like 7 people saying the same thing,
yeah,
and you're the only person voicing that one opinion,
yeah,
then it feels like I have to be wrong.
So all right, so you're accepting, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth again.
Yeah, go ahead.
But what I'm hearing is you're accepting for yourself,
mm-hmm,
that what you're feeling is okay,
right,
and you're gonna stick with it.
Absolutely,
I don't give a fuck.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
And then the next song happens.
Let's hear it. Come on, take us down the road. Let's go.
The next song happens.
And you said it's not in time? Wait, hold on.
It's not in time of release. It's just mental notes for you.
Did you just build in your own transition?
You saw that shit?
Do you have a podcast?
I do.
There we go.
Nappy Boy Radio Podcast this summer.
Shut up.
In a few days.
Shut up.
In a few days. In a studio.
What other songs you got for us, Payne? What other songs can you share?
That's the natural.
Jordan, Fabian, would you focus?
For one time, Fabian is over here trying to be the serious one.
What do you keep doing? What is that? What are you doing? Are you setting markers?
No, I'm saving.
He's trying to know for his podcast.
Such an engineer. Yeah. I can't deal with
You know,
that.
We might be lying to you, though.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We might be sabotaging.
Oh, that's crazy.
This summer.
This was sent directly to Justin Timberlake. Come on, man. Give us another song. I'm dying to know. Right. Come on, man. Take us down.
Second song. It's going to be weird.
Come on.
Hit it.
I only know the name of the song. It was a part of a play. It was a part of a play. And you guys are going to be like, what? You didn't know what fucking play that was?
I'm not into plays. I might not know, but go for
you
it.
You might. He's
more of a ballet guy.
Aquarius.
Bro.
Aquarius.
Jesus Christ Superstar. The Age of Aquarius?
Yes.
Thank you. Come on, continue.
I heard that song and I sampled it immediately. But I sampled it, I sampled the Broadway version. But the first time I heard it was on 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Okay.
And
yes. I didn't want to be the guy that was like, hey, is it that song from that movie at the end of it?
The first time I heard it was on 40-Year-Old Virgin. But when I sampled I found the Broadway version. And that sent me on a journey to where I learned that songs don't need format.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure. Because that song's weird as fuck.
If you break it down,
it's everywhere.
Even the two verses are different because, you know, like, that the shit changed because trying to sample it and do all the shit and it turned into a lot. But it let me know that songs don't need real format. And I've noticed that about a lot of new songs.
Sure.
Yeah.
Especially, you know who has like a format and they stick to it and it's like, fuck you, this is what the song's gonna sound like?
Nickelback.
The Weeknd.
Oh.
Okay.
That was funny. The Weeknd sticks to his format and this is what it is. Yeah. And he wins every time with
it. Sure.
And there's no problem with that, but now I know that songs can be super great without knowing what's coming up next.
Okay.
And that took me on a journey as far as...
Because if you do it right, like, that's fun.
It is very fun.
Like, 3 minutes of fun is a good...
Well, 2 minutes.
That song's long as shit.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying a lot of songs now. We're talking about format.
Oh, yeah.
But no,
now,
But time is
a part of the format.
Okay.
Because if you're trying to fit something... Because remember how much back in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. like, your song has to be 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
And then
we need one chorus by this point and one.
Absolutely. Yeah.
8-bar intro, 8-bar hook, 16-bar verse.
You back get to the hook.
And if that ended up too short, you got to do something else because it has to be.
Hey.
3 minutes and 30 seconds.
And you have
double
to
hook
get,
out.
You get, you get to choose between three tempos.
Right,
and if you don't want one of those tempos, write another song.
Yeah.
No, write another fucking song because guess what? This one's not going to be a hit.
Yo, you want to laugh though. Growing up, my mother, the whole Jesus Christ Superstar was on repeat in my house. I never knew this about you.
So fucking...
We know each other over a decade.
We've never discussed
this. Never discussed this. Like Age of Aquarius, the whole Jesus Christ, that was on repeat in my house on vinyl
That's
whole life.
That's awesome.
Really? Since I was born, that was on in my house. That's
Since
crazy.
Since I was born!
Crazy.
It's crazy, dude. No, really, that's wild, man.
Wow.
Yeah. Everything kind of, like, it all just, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Once I started doing that, that's once I heard that, that's when I started doing different things, man. I just started I started a new band called The Electric Company, which was obviously fucking copyrighted, so we couldn't keep that name.
Because there's a couple of electric companies that are probably trademarked.
There's at least one.
Yeah.
There's at least one.
Damn that monopoly.
But our whole thing was no structure.
Mm-hmm. Just whatever comes out.
Right. And we had a singer that I didn't want to be known or seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't want anybody to know I had anything to do with it.
Well, no, wait a minute, hold on.
You
was
essentially
it a,
had a masked singer.
Was it a rapper turned singer?
Oh, boy.
We both killed it just now, dude. That was a crazy joke.
Both were terrible.
Yeah, but no.
Both were equally terrible.
No, people are going to like that. People are going to like that.
No, we'll edit you out saying it's terrible.
Okay, good stuff.
Yeah, we'll take a laugh from earlier and put it right there.
Yeah, okay.
Sade.
That's the laugh. We're going to
take that
laugh.
Just put it back, Sam.
No. So it was totally unorthodox. There was no rules to it.
Nothing in the entire song repeated.
That's dope.
Nothing repeated. Nothing happened to where it was a hook or a verse or anything. It was just however we felt. And the good thing is what I learned in between the strawberry bubblegum phase and the Aquarius phase was I signed a country artist.
Okay.
Shay Mooney.
Dope.
So I signed Shay Mooney.
Dope.
Which is a part of Dan and Shay.
Yeah.
The big country group now. So yeah.
I've heard they're cool.
Yeah. They have some success.
They just won a Grammy. He's still signed to me. Listen, check.
Yeah.
So the
blue check.
So what happened was I went to a few sessions with Shay Mooney for his songs in Nashville at Bluebird.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw...
Decent place.
Oh, fucking...
Yeah. Every piece of gear you could ever think of.
I lived in Bluebird for like a year and a half.
Amazing.
On my
Legendary.
Tour bus. Like, we parked my tour bus there and I just...
Legendary.
I just lived there. It was
Legendary.
Crazy. Oh my God, they had everything. They brought out a microphone that was a part of the radio system from World War II. Like,
no, and they got, and it's just like
course.
There.
Yeah. It's just like one of the things they just bring out.
Whatever. Oh, you want that?
Yeah,
you can have it.
Hey, you guys having lunch? Check out this microphone.
Yeah.
Wow.
Here's the 47 you wanted. Right. Also, here's what you did.
Exactly. So you're there checking this out.
So I'm checking this shit out and, there's a ton of musicians in the studio. I had never, in hip-hop, we do everything separate.
Yeah.
Everything needs to be bust down. Mm-hmm. Everything needs to be separated.
Clean,
and all
separate.
That shit.
Yeah,
clean,
sure.
Separated. These motherfuckers got in the booth at the same time. Yeah. Everybody recorded at the same time. That shit blew my mind.
Yeah.
I had never seen it.
Yo.
So, with the Electric Company project, we had the singer and the band. Like, it was my band from my live shows. So we were just playing shit all at the same time. Mm-hmm. We were just fucking around. And I'm like, what if we do this? And then everybody did that. But it was seamless. it sounded like songs. Like right when we started doing it, it sounded like songs. It sounded like we didn't need to repeat anything. It just sounded like a long jam session that people would enjoy seeing live.
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of making a live album, but was making it I think was doing like telepop.
Okay.
Like was doing the electronic music mm-hmm. and yeah. pop music, and we was kind of mixing in some real like EDM kind of shit, and you know, but it was all live instruments. So I think that was a start of it. That was a start of a generation of my own music
uh-huh.
that turned into an unstructured masterpiece. The only reason I didn't follow through with it because the chick that we had as the lead singer, she wanted to be known.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was oh man. She has so many names. Oh my God.
Wait, the best part about it is that you're saying she wanted to be known, but you can't remember
her name.
There was 10 names, but I can't think of one.
I'm trying to figure out which one I want to call her by. But, right. And it was Ombre Perkins.
Mm-hmm.
She's written a lot of stuff for Kalani.
Oh, cool.
And her and stuff like that. So, you know, she wanted to be known, but I wanted whoever was going to be the lead singer of this band, you couldn't be known.
Right.
Nobody.
That was part of the thing. It was like just nobody totally would ever see like,
any part of the band. I don't even want the fucking. I don't want nobody to know who's doing the bass.
Uh huh.
Like I don't like.
Now does this lead to the masked singer?
No. I wanted. I just wanted to do a project that was based solely off the music.
Okay.
And how dope the music was. I didn't want anybody to know who was involved with uh-huh. it. I didn't do any vocals on okay. the whole project.
Wow.
Because. You would have knew who the fuck yeah. did it if I was on it.
Yeah.
You know, and you would have heard my voice like mm-hmm. immediately. So yeah. I didn't want any part of the vocals. I just helped with the writing and did, you know, most of the production and mm-hmm. shit like that. And but that's what the Aquarius,
sure.
the Age of Aquarius.
So it showed you that there's no rules.
Absolutely. But well,
not showed you necessarily because you already knew
it
that.
It confirmed. Right. Absolutely.
You're like, yo, yeah. this worked.
Absolutely.
You yeah. actively... Absolutely. Went for the no rules
yeah.
vibe.
For sure, no question.
Dope. Yeah. All right, dope, man.
Can we hear some of that?
What do you got? Yeah, let's listen to some Age of Aquarius. You got it? That just changed my life.
Yeah.
Like no. All right, but let me be honest. You know, to get on topic, we talk about music
yeah.
in a different way here, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about how... well, we all know music's important to our life, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a secret, right? But what we talk about is like, damn, man, I could listen to that and it takes me somewhere. It might be not the same place it takes you
right,
or anybody, but right. it takes me there.
But it takes you there with detail.
No, it definitely does. But, right, but I hear right. that, but so I'm hearing that song for the first time. Right. I'm not, but it's the first time I'm hearing that version of it.
Right, right.
But
right.
it's a song that means so much to me. So
it means
like,
a lot to it means because it means that was so, on but all
my
the
mother.
Time.
Yeah, yeah. It was on my house growing up. So I listened to that song and I'm like, man, it gives me a little tear in my eye. It makes me think about my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it made her so happy. It makes me so happy. So it's like part of my life growing up. So I'm hearing this now. It's 2019. I'm hearing something I've heard since I was before I was born. My mother was listening to that.
Right.
You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like you hear something like that and it shows the power of music. Yeah. You know what
absolutely.
I'm saying? So it brings me back now.
And it
too.
Adds a little sprinkle of something new,
of
too.
Course, yeah. Of course, man. So it's like...
Understanding the power of music is like trying to understand how vast the universe is.
Yeah, dude.
It's
like,
unreal.
It's literally like thinking about space.
It is.
Yeah. Like, when we were talking about the idea for this thing, like, we're all bad with names. It's just like, our type of personality. I don't
Except
know what
thirsty.
It is.
Yeah, thirsty. We'll tell you that in a minute.
But like, the weird thing about music, though, is like, you'll hear a song and it could be a different version of the song, same version of the song, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you smell things.
Mm-hmm.
You feel the weather.
Yeah.
You know who was in the back seat.
It's literally, it's a time machine.
Yeah.
It's a moment,
it really is. You know, as cliche as it sounds, it's a game changer.
Oh, it is.
It's. Yeah. Have you ever seen like real serious series, like on Netflix or something, mm-hmm. and people make like 80s sitcom version of right. them just yeah. by changing the music?
Oh yeah,
it changes the entire mood.
Oh, absolutely,
it can change the whole mood of anything you're doing. Like if somebody put the Family Matters theme song over a game of Doom.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it changes the whole fucking thing.
I'm not trying to kill nobody no more.
Yeah. Right. It changes the whole mood of things. So it controls.
I always wanted to play the Jurassic Park theme song when people pull up the driveway, just so that when they walk into the house, they have an epic vibe.
Right.
You know, like, you know,
I'm just writing out Stoner from here.
Yeah.
Like, for sure. Anytime we let people in our gate,
that's what it is. No, listen. His driveway is similar to yours. You pull
that's
in
what here, he's and saying. You're, he said it's like three in my driveway.
No, because mine's longer.
No.
Really? Prove it.
Mine's longer.
You pull in.
Someone get the measuring tape.
Exactly. No, you. I could do it. I could picture that.
What, us getting the measuring tape?
No, the Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Anyway, dang, Age of Aquarius.
Age of Aquarius, man.
You don't say.
It definitely brought you back because it was a song that your mom listens to,
and he said, dang.
Couldn't
curse.
No, hold on.
Time he wasn't allowed to curse.
Let me tell a quick story. I'm going to digress just 2 seconds. Yo, my mother was in love with my dad since the first day she saw him.
So listen.
So my mother finds out my dad got married. My mother is done with love forever.
Wow.
They're growing up, they're in Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Brooklyn, Greenpoint, but my father was in Queens. My mother leaves. She's done. My father's done. He's gone.
This is over.
My mother goes to become a nun in the convent.
Damn.
So Jesus Christ, super. That's why I couldn't curse. My mother left.
That went crazy.
I think you mean dang.
Yeah, dang.
Right.
Excuse me, Payne. It's
good
it's
Lord.
Dang. Yes. Dang it. So my mother. So she's done now. She's done with love. That's right. It. Because my father's gone. It's the Lord.
All right.
So fast forward now. I feel like I never heard the full story, but it's a month or 2 months. My father breaks up. My mother left the convent, moved right back to She found him, and that's it. And I was like, so, yo, to this day, I'm like, yo, mom, you were the second choice. I don't know. So disrespectful, man. So disrespectful. Yeah, like, so anyway,
Jesus,
like, come on, mom.
Mom, get some commitment under your belt.
So anyway, song number three. listen, we're having a great convo. You got anything else to share with us?
Song number three.
Do you have something for us?
I do.
All right.
I do.
He read the prompt.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know the name of this song.
Okay.
It's a weird song to end off on.
See, I love that you don't know, like, you don't know who sang the second one. You don't know the name of the third one. But, like, to me, that's kind of the vibe of the whole thing, though, is, like, it doesn't matter who did it. What it was called?
Yeah,
I actually know
what it is.
It matters when it happened.
Oh, he got it.
I've heard the name of it once, and it's like I said, these didn't release in order, but I heard them in this order.
Okay.
Black Sabbath, War Pigs.
Oh yeah.
Whoa, that's where we're going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're listening to this one first.
All right, listen. listen. Go to the playlist and listen to this right now. And we're going to be right back. All right, let's continue. So, yo.
Okay.
Yo, Black Sabbath.
Yo, okay.
So, yo, Jordan, you know the song.
Yeah, no, I have a recent story about that song.
Come on, let's hear it.
Oh,
right?
Shit.
No, so we went to the Super Bowl. And
I didn't go.
No, he wasn't invited. We went to the Foo Fighters concert the night before.
I wasn't there also.
You went to a Foo Fighters concert? Mm-hmm. Was Mr. T there?
I love the Foo Fighters. No, but Guy Fieri was.
Oh! Yep. I've met Guy Fieri.
He was drunk and he was great.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was. I will tell you this one thing real quick.
Yeah,
before
no,
you,
go
before
for
you
it.
Get
hit
started.
It. No,
yeah, yeah. Guy Fieri came on my tour bus,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, predominantly black tour bus. All mm-hmm. right. But Guy Fieri, at some point, we was, all the black people were saying, my nigga, mm-hmm. like a lot. And Guy Fieri wanted to join in. And he couldn't. So he just started screaming, my man.
But he was so into the convo.
He was so into the convo. And then I think we all just stopped saying my nigga at that point.
Just so he can stop.
So he can join in. Like, yeah. Everybody wanted to be a part of whatever Gaffieri had going on.
Right.
So,
because he got awesome hair.
No, it's hard to maintain a frosted tip like that.
The entire bus was just like, my man. It's like real strong. And so we conformed to
The Fieri standards.
Right. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead. See, now the rest of my story is going to suck.
But, no, it's going
to
be great.
No. But no, this was like the coolest way to hear that song. So it was a Foo Fighters concert the night before the Super Bowl, and we're there. Unfortunately, we did not find our way to the Claremont Lounge.
Mm.
But
you have to do that every time you go to Atlanta.
Dude, every other time I've been to Atlanta, the Claremont Lounge is like the first stop.
Imagine going there with Eric Andre while he's dating Amber Rose.
Ooh.
Going to Claremont Lounge while Eric Andre is dating Amber Rose, and it's an 80s night in Claremont Lounge.
Anybody who's never been to Atlanta and been to the Claremont Lounge, the next time you're in Atlanta, it is a monument.
It's a part of it.
Yeah.
It's a part of it. You go to the Martin Luther King House in the daytime, and then you go to Claremont Lounge.
Stripper karaoke. Have you been on a Tuesday night? Stripper karaoke?
Absolutely. That's the best. I've paid for a lot of those.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Nah. I
don't know what you guys are talking about, but anyway.
The last time I was there, you know the little stage in the middle of the bar?
Yeah.
Pregnant with nunchucks.
Obviously.
Oh, my God.
Why would that not be a...
But, like, she was a dedicated nunchuckery.
But she...
Like, hey, but no, but it's about self-protection.
Yeah.
And also self-defense. Art. But anyway, continue. Yeah.
But you can hit... Don't worry.
Yeah, go.
But
yeah.
You gotta be, like, just get back to what you're doing. Master at it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Keep continue with the thing.
So, Taylor Hawkins' wife looks at me, and she's like, come up here. And she took us around to this area, and there's this little, like piece of shit trailer. And you like hear a bunch of noise coming up.
Uh-huh.
And she like leads me up the stairs. She's like, just look in there.
Whoa.
It was the Foo Fighters, Tom Morello, and Zach Brown.
Whoa.
Doing War Pigs.
Come on, dude.
Shut up.
Practicing War Pigs.
Come on.
For the first time.
To do what though?
To then go play it in front of like millions of people.
What?
Yeah.
What was this before? What?
This is the
Super Bowl pre-party.
Oh, the Super Bowl joint.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was about to ask you, what are you doing at Claremont?
No, this was not
like
at Claremont.
When millions of people.
No, can you imagine? They should have done it at Claremont.
Right.
If I ever get asked to do a Super Bowl pre-party, I'm going to be like, you know what? Don't build me a venue.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it at Claremont Lounge.
Well, there's a Claremont Hotel now.
With Blondie.
Did you know that?
Yeah, they built it above it.
Yeah.
Is it done?
It is done.
Is it cool?
It is cool.
So War Pigs.
Yeah, so War Pigs. Come on. Come on.
War Pigs introduced me to time signatures that fit together.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, because if you know, we listen to War Pigs from the beginning, then there's so many different time codes and time signatures.
Because it's actually, moving all over the place.
It's all over the place.
But it's connected.
But it let me know that the public and the people will follow your time signatures.
That makes sense.
They don't have to know what it is to
bob their head. They don't have to know what it is, but they know when
things... It's got to feel good.
They know when things happen in your song if it feels good.
It makes sense, man.
Yeah.
Completely.
And that took me to a whole different level of, why the fuck am I following just 4/4 all the time? We don't need 4/4.
Yeah.
I just watched somebody last night that did 15/6.
Ooh.
Oh.
What about y'all? When you go into a new studio.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you go to a new studio. Let's say you've been mixing my songs in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to a studio in New York. Let's say you go in the fucking Jungle City or
whatever
some
shit. It is, yeah.
And what do you play to
know what's going on?
To calibrate.
There's two songs that I play every single time.
Mm-hmm.
One is called "Buy You a Drink" by T-Pain. there is that.
That's not true.
No, that's dead true. Every single time every single time I walk into a studio, I play "Buy You a Drink." It shows me the bottom end. It shows me where the vocals are supposed to sit because every speaker is different. And I play "A Milli" by Lil Wayne.
Shut your mouth.
Those are the two songs I play no matter what studio I go in around the world. Literally, we were in Greece last summer.
Yeah,
I had to mix a song last second. I'm on vacation. They need it.
Yeah.
Nobody can wait. And then it comes out fucking 3 months later. But I literally put on Buy You a Drink. I listen to the mains. I see where the bass is at. I see where to punch. Because we set a trend with that.
Oh, yo, that the second kick.
Mm-hmm. On so Buy it's 808 and then the kick hits.
Right.
Arguably one of the most sampled.
You know, that was a mistake.
Was it?
Yeah, that was a mistake. I was making Buy You a Drink in the studio with Akon, and I was doing all those drums at the same time. Mm-hmm. I was doing the hi-hat, the snap, and the kick, and the 808 at the mm-hmm. same time. But Akon was in there, and I fucked around and hit the wrong button.
And it happened.
And I was just like, no, I meant to do that for
sure. Yo, listen. Yo, I'm gonna be honest with you. Yo, for a strong decade, and I'm not exaggerating, people ask me for that kick.
Yeah, no question.
No, for
and that snap though, that snap was the snap, crazy.
Listen,
that snap was out of control.
Yo, all right. If we're gonna break it down, there's six sounds in that song.
Yeah.
One of the most vicious mixes I ever did.
It had to be crazy.
Yo, people.
You know who was the most mad?
Huh.
Dr. Luke.
I believe it.
Dr. Luke.
Oh, I remember it.
Dr. Luke showed me a mix that he had
mm-hmm.
with 299 tracks.
Yo.
What?
Yo.
No.
The snare was like 18 tracks. The kick was like 22 joints.
Yo, I was there that night. I walk in and Payne goes, oh, this is the guy that mixed it. He's like, how the fuck did you do it? And this, I remember
like,
that night.
Tricks.
And he was like, but I'm looking, and we're young and arrogant and just like, right. Whatever. I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? You know, and this is, you know, Dr. Luke, who's like,
yeah,
Dr. Luke.
So the king.
Yeah. And he's like, yo, but how do you do this and that? I'm like, we just do it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, we just did the thing.
That was literally the conversation.
Because keep in mind, he was getting his shit in. He was getting this shit mixed in like Germany.
Yeah, no.
So he was sending his 300 track
session
to Germany.
Hey.
And they would do like what we would call now FaceTime.
Yo.
Yeah.
And he would just be like, yo, turn up one of the snares.
Yo, and listen, we're like, yeah, we got six sounds, and we did that in one night, drunk.
Absolutely,
it was
legit no effort. Yeah,
and thanks for stopping by. No, I remember that day.
Yo, he was legit mad. No, he was like legit mad.
He was like, yo, come show. Yo, he had a whole army of dudes in the studio. He was like, yo, what do you guys do? What do you guys do? I'm like, what do you mean? What do we do?
What do you mean?
We just be.
Yeah, we try to make the snare not as high as the kick.
Yeah, but it didn't work. But we tried it.
And then we tried it, and then the kick came out this way, and then
we
put the song out.
And that's that.
And it was just
and by the way,
it was like, but no, okay, so how many times did you have to go back with your mixer? I was like, this is the mixer.
Yeah, this is the mixer. and he was literally looking at me like, you?
Yeah. I mean, we do text a lot, but.
The mixer was in the room when I made the song, so we kind of did it, like, mastered this song in like two nights.
Yeah, no, we crushed it. Yo, it was just one of them things. I was so excited.
It was
I was
so,
a fan.
Yo, the whole session was six tracks.
It really was.
I can't believe it was six tracks.
Can't believe it was too. Yeah.
Can't believe it was six tracks.
I can't believe it.
Can you?
No, I can't.
So listen. Okay. Oh, all right. We got it. Listen.
Okay.
Listen. We could do this all night.
Yeah.
But listen, I love you. I admire
you. I love you too.
Listen,
this has at least been 3 hours.
This is but listen.
I think I love you.
Do you?
If you buy me a drink.
I mean,
he's
why don't you marry then?
Yeah. So listen.
No, seriously, dude. I feel like we're already friends.
I'll tell you what, it was definitely daytime when we started this.
Yeah, and now it's not.
It's not anymore.
Yeah. But listen, yo, we love you and we thank you for coming out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks, man.
ST Pain on the Tracks of Life.
Man, that was too much fun.
Kicking it off with a bang.
And a bottle.
And a hangover. Next week, though, we got Mr. Cartoon.
The absolute legend.
It's educational. You got to tune into that one.
Man, the guy, I mean, he changed car culture. He's an internationally renowned tattoo artist, businessman.
Yeah, I mean, he's designed Nikes, Vans, Xboxes, Sidekicks. He tattoos everybody you've ever heard of. Just check it out. You're going to love it.
Amazing. Tracks of Life.